3, verses 1 through 6. Let us hear God's holy word. Moses was keeping the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro, the priest of Midian, and he led his flock beyond the wilderness and came to the mountain of Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire out of a bush. He looked, and the bush was blazing, yet it was not consumed. Then Moses said, "I must turn aside and look at this great sight, and see why the bush is not burned up." When the Lord saw that he had turned aside to see, God called to him out of the bush, "Moses, Moses!" And he said, "Here I am." Then he said, "Come no closer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place on which you are standing is holy ground." He said further, "I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob." And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. Skip with me down to verse 14. "And God said to Moses, 'I am who I am.' He said further, 'Thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you.'" May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, as we consider this story of Moses and the burning bush, I pray that you would speak to our very lives this day, for we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ, our risen Lord. Amen. Back in October, there was a Sunday afternoon when our youth group here at the church gathered, about 30, 35 of us or so, and we drove over to Montgomery. We parked along Route 58 on Hazen's Notch Road. Some of you have driven that pathway through there. An interesting road it is. I believe it was commissioned by General George Washington sometime in the 1700s. You don't want to go when it's muddy or when it's snowy. You won't make it through. But on an October afternoon, it's quite pleasant. And so after we parked, we decided we were going to hike Burnt Mountain. It's my favorite hike in the whole world. It's about 2 hours up, ascends almost 4,000 feet, and then about an hour back down. And it was one of those picturesque October Vermont days. The sun was shining, the foliage was peak red, yellow, orange, green, all mixed together. A group of 35 or so teenagers and a few adults. And sure enough, when we got to the base of the mountain, there was a group of about 8 students that just shot up the mountain, running as fast as they could. There was another group that was out of shape. They lagged behind the whole way, some of them on the steep places of the mountain, wondering if they were ever going to get to the top. And then there were a few of us who were just in the middle, going at a steady pace, ascending the mountain. I was one of those in the middle. I wasn't in a hurry. I wasn't lagging behind. I was just enjoying the hike, looking at the sun glisten through those trees, enjoying the smells of the forest. And then when we get to the top of Burnt Mountain, it's absolutely spectacular. It's one of the few mountains that you can climb. When you get to the top, you can see 360, a complete panoramic view. A J Peak on one side, you can catch a peak of Mount Mansfield to the south. Absolutely spectacular looking out over God's creation to see how he molded these mountains together. The sun was shining that day, and I happened to be standing there with Pastor Dan Bruckner from the Swanton Christian Church, who works with our youth group, who's a good friend of mine. And one of the students took their cell phone, as they do these days, and they snapped a picture of the two of us standing there together. About 2 days later, they posted it on Facebook. I looked at the picture, and I was interested at what I saw, because here was Dan on the left and me on the right, and the sun was shining in the background, and it just happened to be perfectly aligned so that the sun was right behind my head, and it looked like there was a big halo coming right over my head. And I looked at that, and I thought, wow, what an interesting picture. And so I forwarded that on to Dan and said, Dan, where's your halo? He didn't think the joke was quite as funny as I did. But what a wonderful afternoon, standing around looking at the mountains all around us. Indeed, it was a mountaintop experience, both physically and spiritually, as we consider the glory of God in His creation. A mountaintop experience. Have you ever had one of those? Well, did you know that you don't have to be on top of a mountain to have a mountaintop experience with God? There are other ways for that to take place. Every once in a while in our lives, God will bring us to a moment in time where we experience Him in a way that we've never experienced Him before. It's incredible. It's exciting. It fills our hearts with joy and adrenaline to experience God in a way that we've never experienced Him before. Well, in our text this morning, Moses had a mountaintop experience. Sure enough, it was on top of a mountain, but it didn't have to be that way. God could have appeared to Moses anywhere He wanted to, but He decided to do it on the side of a craggy mountain, Mount Horeb. Moses encountered God in a way that he had never encountered Him before. As I tell you the story of Moses' mountaintop experience, I want to highlight three words for how God prepared Moses for such as an encounter as this. For it's easy for us to stand back and say, wow, wouldn't it have been wonderful for us to see the angel of the Lord burning in that bush? And most of us come to church like this and we say, well, I didn't see any burning bush. All I saw was a preacher standing up there. It wasn't quite what I had hoped for this morning. And I know that. Very few times in life do we have encounters such as this. But what we don't see in the text that I just read was all that preceded this encounter with God. For God has ways of preparing us for moments like this. And so lest we forget that mountaintop experiences come with difficulty beforehand, let me share these three words with you. How does God prepare us for a mountaintop experience? Devastation, isolation, and humiliation. Let me begin with devastation. Think about Moses for a second. Moses was a prince of Egypt, adopted as one of Pharaoh's own sons. He lived in the most powerful kingdom known to the world at that point in time, and he was privileged to have one of the most prestigious positions that you could possibly have. As a son of Pharaoh, he had everything you could ever imagine. He had the best education, biology, astronomy, physics, mathematics, literature. He had the equivalent to 4 PhDs, the most incredible education you could possibly have. He had more wealth than you could ever put in a bank. Gold, silver, jewels, anything he wanted, he had. As a matter of fact, as a son of Pharaoh, they were carried around in these caravan chariots. It was basically a bed on two poles that got carried around by six men all the time. Most of us think how nice it would be to have a Cadillac. Well, how much nicer would it be to never have to walk anywhere you go, but to have six escorts to pick you up and carry you while you kick back in your bed, enjoying the ride? Every day, he would have been manicured, pedicured, massaged, and oiled. And he didn't even have to pay for any of it. He had all the privilege of being the prince of Egypt. That was until a day came where Moses did the right thing, but he did it the wrong way. He tried to pull off an exodus by killing an Egyptian. And when he murdered the Egyptian who was beating one of the slave Hebrews, he lost all of his privilege. He lost all of his prestige. He lost his place as a son of Pharaoh. He was kicked out of the kingdom and forced to walk across the desert. I think it's safe to say that Moses experienced devastation in his life before he ever ascended in a mountaintop experience with God. I want to tell you this morning that the last 3 weeks of my life have been somewhat of a mountaintop experience with God. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't expecting it. But it happened. And just like Moses, it began with an encounter of devastation. For it'll be 4 weeks tomorrow that I received a call, and my dad told me on the phone, half-breaking voice even as he was telling me, that my Uncle Mark, who was more like a brother to me as we grew up in the same household, had unexpectedly died at 47 years old. Health problems that hardly anyone even knew about. He was a mile underground in the mines that he worked and loved so much when he was discovered. And when I got that phone call, I felt devastated. And when on Christmas afternoon I had to leave my family and drive 600 miles to Pittsburgh and to conduct my brother's funeral the day after Christmas, it was a feeling of devastation. To watch my grandmother, who raised me as my own mother, to have to be one of the ones that pulled her away from the casket as she mourned the loss of her third child. It was a devastating experience for my whole family. I didn't lose a kingdom like Moses did, but I know what it's like to be devastated. And that sense of devastation prepared me for an encounter with God that I was about to have. How about you this morning? Have you ever gone through an experience of devastation in your life? Maybe you're experiencing devastation even now. You come to church this morning bearing that load on your back. Maybe you lost something or someone, and you're devastated. Maybe your hopes and dreams have been dashed by some circumstance in life, and you're devastated today. Well, I want you to know that if you have gone through an experience of devastation, then you might be prepared for a mountaintop experience with God. Devastation. But as we continue to look at the text, we see that not only was Moses devastated, but before he had this mountaintop experience with God, he also was isolated. Think about Moses for a second. Here he was in Egypt, all of these wonderful things at his fingertips. And now all of a sudden he's forced to walk across this long and lonely desert all by himself, not knowing if he was going to have enough water to make it anywhere, not knowing where he was going or who he would encounter, if anyone. Eventually, he makes his way to Midian and finds shelter in the flock of Jethro. And he spends the next 40 years of his life tending sheep. 40 years as a prince, the next 40 years as a shepherd. Shepherds woke up early every morning, tending their sheep. Most of the time, they slept out in the fields to protect them from wild animals that would destroy them, to protect them from raiders who would come in to seek to steal those sheep away. Hour after hour of isolation, being completely alone, by himself, with some sheep and his own thoughts. He went from the palace to the pasture. A sense of isolation. But it was that 40 years of isolation that prepared Moses for the mountaintop experience that he was about to have with God. Isn't it interesting to see how God does that in our lives? Well, once in a while, we also have that same experience of isolation. Now, thank God, for most of us, it's not 40 years long. But do you know what it's like to be in isolation? To feel lonely? To miss the people that you love? That's the exact experience that I had over the last 2 weeks. Being gone from my family, staying in a hotel room all by yourself, having a little bit of fellowship with classmates during the day, but missing your wife and your kids, your church, your familiar surroundings. I wasn't isolated in Midian, but I was isolated in Alabama, which I would say may even be a little bit worse. But it was in those 2 weeks of isolation that God prepared me for an encounter with him. And so often that's the way he does it in our lives. We have to get away from the noise. We have to get away from the activity. Get away from the hustle and bustle if we're to have a mountaintop experience with God. This is the way he's always done it. For when we get alone with him, he does something in our souls that's incredible, that's uncomparable, that's indescribable. It was in that spirit of isolation that all of a sudden Moses went to the backside of Mount Horeb, the mountain of God. And as he looked up into its craggy peaks, he saw something burning there. He left his sheep right there in the pasture, and he began a slow and lonely walk up those rocks, up into those hills, following the faint light of a fire that continued to burn and would not cease. And there, alone by himself, as he approached the bush, he heard God's voice, "Moses, Moses." "Here I am, Lord." And God told him to take off his sandals, for the place in which his feet were standing was holy ground. An experience of isolation prepared him for an encounter with God. How about us? Do you know what it's like to be isolated from people, particularly the people that you love the most? Some of us came to church this morning feeling alone and abandoned. Maybe you're married, but you still feel isolated. Maybe you have kids and you feel abandoned. Maybe you have people all around you every day, and yet still there's this emptiness of community, of fellowship inside your heart. If you are going through a time of isolation in your life, I want you to know that God may be preparing you for an encounter with Him. Devastation, isolation, and finally, let me tell you a little bit about humiliation. Moses experienced humiliation when he was kicked out of his father's kingdom. Can you imagine what it was to go from being Pharaoh's son to being an assistant shepherd out in the middle of nowhere? If you have your Bible open, look with me again, right at verse 1. Moses, what was he doing? He was keeping the flock of who? His father-in-law, Jethro. And Moses was an assistant shepherd, not even a shepherd himself. He didn't even own his own flock, but he was simply taking care of his father-in-law's sheep. This was one of the biggest demotions in the history of the world. Prince of Egypt to assistant shepherd of Midian. Can you imagine the humiliation that Moses experienced? Going from number one to going to complete non-existence. From going from notoriety to anonymity. From being somebody to being nobody. Complete and utter humiliation. But that experience prepared him for an encounter with God. I need to tell you that I had a little bit of humiliating experience myself in the last couple of weeks. No, I didn't do something that embarrassed myself. I didn't say something that embarrassed myself. At least not that I know of. I probably did, but I'm too dumb to even realize it. But let me tell you about this. Sitting in class, a doctoral class with colleagues and a professor for 2 weeks can be a humiliating experience. For the first week, we all preach in class. Now, it's one thing to preach to you who love me, who care about me, who nurture me, who say nice things even when I don't deserve them. It's another thing to preach to a group of colleagues who do the same thing as you every week. It's another thing to preach to a professor who has spent his whole life teaching people how to preach. And no matter how good you do in that context, it's never good enough. It's humiliating. Sitting in class discussing our ministries and being faced with my own weaknesses, my failures, my frustrations, and to be forced to write a paper about it and present it to class is an absolutely humiliating experience. Do you know what it's like to be humiliated? Maybe you had an experience like Moses when you were demoted from a job or lost a job. Or maybe you were forced to sell something that you didn't want to sell. You were forced to give up something that you didn't want to give up, and it was humiliating for you. All sorts of things can happen in and through life that leaves us feeling humiliated. But I want you to know today that that can prepare us for an encounter with God. Devastation, isolation, humiliation. If you are experiencing one, two, or maybe even all three of these things, God may be preparing you for a mountaintop experience with Him. For this is the way He has worked through history. Think about Abraham for a second. Abraham, that man that God called to leave his home country to enter into the promised land. He went through the devastation of having to leave his home and move to a new place. And after waiting 100 years to have a child, the devastation of not being able to conceive, the isolation of he and his wife not being able to have any other family members, the humiliation of not being able to have kids, and then after 100 years, his wife Sarah conceives. They have a child. And then God says, I want you to take your son, your only son, Isaac, up to a mountain of all places, Mount Moriah, where I want you to sacrifice him, to cut him and burn him as an offering to me. A devastating experience. An isolating experience. A humiliating experience. But we all know what happened. Isaac had the knife ready to take it through his son. And God says, Abraham, Abraham, wait. I never wanted you to do this, but you passed the test of faith. Look over there, there's a ram caught by its horns. Sacrifice that to me. And Abraham had a mountaintop experience with God unlike any other. We can walk right through biblical history and see how God has done this. Think about our own Lord Jesus Christ for just a few minutes. Think about the devastation that he experienced in his life of being God's one and only Son. And to be whipped and spit upon and kicked and beaten and left alone to hang on a cross with nails through his hands and through his feet and thorns pressed into his skull to suffer and die. Devastation, isolation, humiliation. But this is what Jesus has done for us, so that we might be able to encounter God in a real and powerful way. I don't know what you're experiencing this morning, but I do know this, that if you are experiencing some kind of devastation or some kind of isolation or some type of humiliation in your life, God just may be preparing you for a mountaintop experience with Him. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you for this story of Moses and what he encountered on Mount Horeb that day. Lord, I pray for each of us that have gathered here this morning, particularly those who feel devastated, who feel isolated, or feel humiliated today. Lord, I thank you that you come in our greatest weakness, that you come to us in our times of difficulty, and that you minister to our hearts, that you raise us up and help us to experience you in a way that we never have before. Lord, I pray that you would help us to sense your presence among us, and that we would truly experience you this day. For we thank you and give you praise in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.